It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game four tonight, Knicks and Pacers, with the Knicks down 2-1. Have an opportunity to tie up the series and come back for a huge game five at the Garden on Thursday night. The place will be nuts either way, but if it's tied 2-2 and the momentum and game five of the Garden should be tremendous. If you want to talk some Knicks, 888-808-1019. And the baseball teams, really good last couple of days. I mean, the Yankees have been good for weeks now and have a big lead in the division, the biggest out of any lead in Major League Baseball when it comes to a division. And then after the Mets had their little bit of a swoon, they bounce back, get a series win over the Dodgers, and of course take the first game against the White Sox. So not a ton to complain about in Met and Yankee land as the Knicks are rolling along, stealing all the headlines.
Well, you see what the Mets schedule looks like now here for the next 10 games.
Soft underbelly spot.
Soft underbelly, but they got to go to the Dodgers, but then they got to go to Colorado. So they're going to play two out of the next four series are against Colorado, and obviously they have the White Sox right now. So these are games. Even though the Yankees did lose Friday night to Colorado, they came back and won two games. And, you know, it's Colorado and the White Sox are horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, two of the worst teams we have seen in the history of the game. I mean, the White Sox, of course, last year historically bad. The Rockies right now are on a worse pace, at least last time I checked, than what the White Sox were last year. So it's just there's no losing to those teams.
Right. And, you know, of course, Juan Soto has a key sack fly yesterday, ties the game, and then Lindor has a sack fly that wins the game.
Yeah, I mean,
so two guys who, look, they made outs, but you know what? They did what they were supposed to do.
That is true. I mean, the runners in scoring position thing still lives on a little bit, but you got the job done with a couple of outs, and that is that's good. But yeah, I mean, it's the offense you want to see really, really break out against these bad teams. Didn't do it against the White Sox last night, but it doesn't, yesterday doesn't mean that it can't
happen. Well-pitched game.
Yeah.
So that's the thing, I think, for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's been kind of surprising, and it's been a nice surprise.
Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Long Island. What's going on, Steve?
Let's go Knicks!
Yes,
I don't want to hear people calling up talking about, we got to get rid of the coach. You know why I love my coach? Because I'm three games away from the NBA Finals. You know, I'll go the other way. Tell me the last Knick coach that was better than Thibodeau.
I would say Ben Gundy.
I remember Larry Brown. I remember Phil Jackson. I got to go back to Pat Riley or Jeff Van Gundy to find a coach who's better than Thibodeau.
Yeah, I loved Van Gundy. That would be the answer. Obviously, Phil Jackson wasn't a coach, Steve. He was the president of baseball, basketball operations, and that's how he blew up the team back then. But yeah, I mean, Tibbs, that's what we mentioned before. I mean, it was Henry and Queens was way off base. It doesn't mean that that is the consensus among Knicks fans. I don't think it is at all. I think that was frustrated with being down 2-1. But Tibbs, if they would have lost to the Pistons, or up 2-1, 2-1, and then 3-1 without Jason Tatum and had blown that series, then maybe there could have been a discussion about him being on the hot seat, because that would have been two really brutal scenarios for them to get knocked out of the playoffs in a key year for them. But that's all gone now.
You know what it is? I know that Henry, who called in and was talking about this, is around my age. So he has seen good basketball by the Knicks. But for the last 25 years, I would say the last 3 years, you know, it's gotten better because they've had a legitimate coach. And, you know, Leon Rose has stabilized the organization. They gave up a lot of assets that they ended up acquiring, and they tried to use them as strategically as they possibly could. And they're one of the four best teams in the NBA. We're going to fire the coach. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
right. And you know, I know that the Tibbs detractors have their points that they can make. I understand that, but I also understand that when your best player talks about his coach the way that Jalen Brunson talks about Tom Thibodeau, then I'm like, you know, I'm all in. I'm all in with the coach because the best player wants the coach and wants to play for the coach.
Our buddy King is up in Hartford this morning. What's up, King?
Boomer and Geo. Oh yeah.
King. What's happening there, King?
Guys, Brunson's father works for Thibodeau. What do you think he's going to say?
Yeah, but it's not just giving him praises, the specific things that he's saying about how much he respects him. And it's also not just that clip that you heard Jerry play. It was back when Tibbs was on the podcast with Jalen Brown and Josh Hart and how they just, you could tell they genuinely really liked one another. So I don't think this is some sort of lip service by Jalen Brunson.
Well, of course it is. His father works for him.
So you think Jalen Brunson doesn't like Tom Thibodeau?
Well, I'm just saying it makes a big part of what he's saying, that his father works for Thibodeau.
Yeah, I mean, I also think he busts his father's chops all the time.
Jalen Brunson's an all-star and an all-NBA player under Tom Thibodeau as a coach. That's all you need to know, King. Come on.
I know. It's silly. And by the way, Jalen Brunson isn't in a position anymore. He has far exceeded the role of someone who has to kowtow to a coach because his father works for him. I mean, this isn't like the 12th guy off the bench, for God's sakes. He's a superstar right now that everybody's catering to him.
Right, and by the way, the guy, you know, is severely underpaid in today's NBA for the performance.
And made that choice to do that.
Right, and he did that to come to New York to play for this franchise, to play with his dad, and also to have them be able to build around him as the point guard.
That's right. And that was one of the best decisions the Knicks front office had ever made, getting him here. Julio in Brooklyn. What's going on, Julio?
Hello.
Hello, Julio.
I just wanted to say that being an athlete, I never want to be substituted out of game. So when you're talking about playing too many minutes, they want to be in there. There is no beef there. They want to be in there. There's no beef there, so they're not playing too many minutes. They want to be in there. Nobody acts out of game.
Yeah, I mean, Julio, I think that it's two different conversations. I don't think that when people say that Tibbs plays the starters too many minutes, it's because the starters want to be out of the game. It's the conversation of you want to keep these guys healthy. No one's questioning whether or not these starters want to play. It's just that you know, playing these guys as many minutes as Tibbs had in the regular season over the years, you know, people point to that saying that, you know, that's why guys get hurt. So
yeah, but like who's talking about that now?
Nobody. Well, Julio, apparently.
Or Julio, I guess. But the only person that said one thing to Tom Thibodeau about playing a little bit too much was Mikal Bridges. And that was about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, maybe give some other guys some run, which to me is unselfish again.
Sure.
It's the unselfish nature of the Villanova three guys. And by the way, Carl Anthony Towns gets sat down and he gets asked questions about being sat down. Should you have been sat down? Was there any controversy that came out of game two?
Not really.
Other than the fact they lost the game. Was there any other sideline controversy that you know, happens to these teams around here?
No, there wasn't, because it was just the Pacers played better than the Knicks did in game two.
And the player himself took accountability by not screaming and yelling about being sat down.
And then what did he do in game three?
Took it over when
he mattered.
Yes.
So, I mean, that right there, hey, maybe that's coaching too. You know, that's part of it.
Well, it's respect for the coach is what it is, which is the hardest thing at the professional level. And I would even think it's probably happening in the college level now with the NIL money and everything that, you know, the expectations or the entitlements of a lot of these players. But I think the Knicks are in a really good spot, man. God almighty, it's been so bad for so long, and they finally have stability. And that's what we've been talking about for all of these franchises around here. Like, I feel like the Mets have stability with David Stearns and Carlos Mendoza. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Obviously, the Yankees have stability with Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone.
Well, and also, you know, you got to talk about the owners in those situations too, which are good owners.
And by the way, you know, is anybody talking about Aaron Boone and firing him now?
Not right now, no.
Is anybody talking about firing Brian Cashman?
Not right now, no.
No, of course not.
Yeah, very quiet.
But yet, you know, for the calls over the years that have come through here and they said, we got to get rid of this guy, we got to get rid of that guy. You know what? Hal Steinbrenner did not listen one iota to the fan base or the loud, you know, probably small group. Of fans that wanted Aaron Boone fired or Brian Cashman fired. Hal Steinbrenner didn't bend.
That's right. And he's got a really good team this year again, and their plan B has been working up until this point. Let's go to Barry, who's in Lindenhurst. What's going on, Barry?
Boomer!
What's up, Barry?
Not much. I just want to chime in. I'm hearing all the Thibodeau hate, and the Knicks fans have to be loyal to him at this point. Because who else is going, like, say they were to get rid of him, who else? This guy, we're on the top four, like you said, we're one of the top four best teams. I'm not understanding the discourse. I mean, listen, I'm sure everyone's been, like, question moments in the season where it's like, oh, why'd he do this? Why'd he do that? But, like, to not be loyal to the guy that's brought us this far in 25 years, I think that's crazy. So, I just want to know. Who could even replace Thibodeau
people would say Mike Malone because he won a championship with Denver. But I this just drives me crazy. I've sat here for 18 years discussing different coaches, different general managers, and we know the ones that don't belong. We knew the ones that didn't belong.
That's right.
And this is one that does belong. So while he does have his detractors, just like Jalen Brunson said in Jerry's Cuts earlier this morning, it ain't me, I can tell you that.
No.
And he has brought a toughness to this team. You got to admit that.
Yeah, I mean, and there was a time, there was a time in the Piston series where Detroit was more physical and they were getting after it. And I said, man, like, that's more of a Tibbs team than the roster that he has now. And that's interesting that is, you know, when they were losing a couple games to the Pistons. But they came back. They won that series. They beat the friggin' Boston Celtics, mostly with Tatum on the floor. And now they have an opportunity to tie up the Eastern Conference Finals. So the conversations that were happening earlier in the playoffs about him are over. They evaporated.
You know why Detroit played tackle basketball? Because they didn't have the better players.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's the way that it's always had to be for Tibbs. He's never really had the great, great team. He's had great players. He had Derrick Rose, of course. He had Karl-Anthony Towns up in Minnesota. But now he has a collection of five or six, seven players, maybe nine players now. Who knows? But he has a collection of players that genuinely like playing for him. They seem to play defense when they need to play defense, which is something we've all been screaming about. And when we said that they had to defend a three-point shot a lot better, what did they do? They defended it a lot better. And why is that? Because the coach is telling him that.
Yeah.
Guy, we want to kill the coach when the team loses, and we want to fire the general manager, get rid of everybody. But now here we are, the team wins, and there is a small group of people that still don't believe in the coach. I don't get that.
Yeah, I just think that is... You know, every situation in New York sports is going to be a few people that just never are going to like the people in charge.
It does remind me a little bit of when Tortorella was coaching Rangers. Like, he took a good team, not a great team, but a good team, and he made them block shots, and he had a great goaltender, and they just couldn't get over the hump. And after a while, the message stops resonating with the team. You know, we're not even remotely close to that with the Knicks.
The Knicks are a 2-point underdog tonight.
Sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Let me just see in the series now. Let's see. They are. Yeah, see, I mean, it's right there. The Pacers obviously favored, but it's Knicks plus 184, Pacers minus 220. So it's not some sort of massive deal there. People still believing that the Knicks can come back and win this series, including us. But yeah, it's been interesting. I'd like to wager here and there on stuff, but I haven't touched any one of these games because I don't have a beat on it. Like, I just don't. Like, Jerry had a beat on game six with the Knicks and the Celtics. I just don't. Like, I loved them in game two. Absolutely loved them. And I was like, I'm still not going to bet because I've been wrong about a lot of these things. So I'm not touching that. I like them in every game at this point. There's not a single game that they're going to play the rest of the way where I'm going to think they're going to lose because I just can't. Can't think like that right now. I mean, this team has brought us all the way here. So every time they step out there, I'm thinking they're winning.
They've gotten progressively better over the last 3 years. They've gotten further over the last 3 years. And they're right now in the mix of possibly getting to the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, that says all I need to know about where the franchise is, how stable the franchise is. And I don't know, was it Brian Windhorst saying that, you know, they're ahead of schedule? I don't know what he meant by that, because I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, we just gave all these assets away to get Mikal Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns here.
Mm-hmm.
So are there more assets that I'm missing somewhere? I better tucked away that no, we can add.
This is on schedule.
I think that this team is the team that we're going to see for the next 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to trade somebody. That's a different story.
Yeah, which I don't think that they are at this point. They might have had to shake it up if things went awry earlier in the playoffs, but right now these guys are proving themselves.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Okay.
All right, what was that?
Here we are. Here we are, Boomer and Geo. Oh, okay.
All right, okay.
We've got Jerry back with another update. What's happening, Jerry?
Well, good morning. This report brought to you by Corona. Join the Fan and Corona for a Game 4 watch party with Larry Johnson at Blue Haven South tonight.
That's right. This is where we're going to find out if Larry Johnson has the ball or not.
Yes.
Well, if Chris Mercadante actually goes to this, which he told me he was going to go to because it's his client.
Well, he's got to
He'll be there then.
He's got to go.
He said it's far away from him, though.
Well, it's, yeah. Well,
I'm going to text him right now and make sure he goes there because he promised me he was going to ask Larry Johnson.
And he could be like a real pain in the ass. Like, he's not afraid to walk up to somebody to start talking to him.
He's an in-your-face guy.
Very forward.
Yeah. Well, you need to be as a sales guy, right?
Yes.
I think he has to be there tonight.
He has to be there because he promised me the night before kickoff to summer he would be there to ask Larry Johnson if he's got the ball. I said, you want to get back into our good graces? You want to get back into my good graces after you went to a really nice golf course that I brought you to and you hacked it up as you hit a ball off a green with your iron and left a divot? Then go do this for me. So he said he would do it.
All right, sounds good. So we do have the Knicks and Pacers tonight for that watch party, obviously. Game 4 in Indiana. So I played Charles Barkley last hour, talking about how that game was over when it wasn't. Here was Kenny Smith on TNT, impressed how deep Tibbs went with the bench as we saw what happened and what transpired on Sunday.
Thibodeau wouldn't play 9 guys in a baseball game. So, like,
that's a line right there.
I'm surprised at Horace.
That is a line.
That he has done that.
Well, he did, and some for need and some because he was looking for different things to do. And it worked out as the Knicks won that game, coming back from 20 down again. That's the third time they've done that.
By the way, no campaign. Thank God.
He had one game.
He's very hot and cold.
Game one against the Pistons.
He won game one against the Pistons, and thank God he did it.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, he has been brutal since then.
Here was Jalen Brunson. We talk about, you know, the deficits and the runs. He talks about the game within the game.
There's always going to be a lot of things that happen throughout a game. And so you can say, yeah, we can implement a plan to where he doesn't have to wait until the fourth quarter, but everything happens throughout a game where you have to respond, you have to react, you have to adjust.
And the Knicks have done that
quite
well.
That shot he made to put him up 198, we're looking at it on CBS Sports Network right now. That was a great shot.
Yes, it was.
I'm surprised he wasn't fouled on that. I mean,
he probably was. They didn't call it.
I mean, the point is like, the Pacers are going at him to get him into foul trouble.
Sure.
And he's got to be a little bit smarter than that earlier in the game, so he doesn't put himself into foul trouble. But if they're going to continue to drive at him, I mean, and they're going to call these fouls, I mean, that should be a foul.
And on the floor.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. Here was OG Anunoby dealing with these big deficits as they have.
We don't want to be down 20, but sometimes it's just how it happens. And we know it's a game of runs, so I guess we just lock in and go on a run of our own.
And doesn't seem like they're ever out of a ball game, that's for sure.
You know what? When you see him and you see Pascal Siakam play, you understand why they were NBA champions. You know, with Toronto.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the main things that I brought up when OG came here and people didn't like that trade early on. I was like, you didn't watch him in that finals then because I was going to say I was doing the national show and watched a ton of that series, but I don't think so. I think that was after that. But this guy, I mean, he was unbelievable in clutch time there and obviously Siakam as well, who got off to an insane start in game two. Just stupid stuff. I mean, these guys, Nesmith in game one and Siakam in game two, just it's like hilarious how unconscious they were in a bad way.
And in that game two, your guy Kevin Harlan made waves and went viral as the play kind of came towards him and towards the table.
And that's what I'm talking about. Good action right there.
I'm wet. I'm dirty. Oh, my. Stuff all over the place, and here comes Brunson again.
Yeah, so if you don't know what's going on, you're like, what the hell is he talking about? But then you know he's got stuff spilled on him and everything else. But I'm wet!
I think if I were an announcer at an NBA game sitting courtside, I would not have a drink near me or anything.
But you need something, though.
How about you?
I always have a water, but you have to.
But are you down on the floor?
Depends.
In most cases?
No. Hey, I would say it's 50%.
Well, I mean, put the thing down by your foot. Put the water down.
Yeah. I have a water bottle with a cap on it.
How about that?
You do, but sometimes you need a cup of tea or coffee. Yeah. It sucks. You need it, though. But you're right. It can get dicey over there.
Have you ever got hit in the face with a basketball?
No, but I've caught it twice.
Yeah.
Did you? You see the video that got sent to us now a million times? This the latest one?
No.
I feel like it's fake, though. This guy hits a ball off a tree, and it hits him in the face, and he's like gasping for air. And his like girlfriend or wife is like, "Are you okay?" And he's like, because it like came back and hit him in the throat.
I did not see that one. It's shocking because I see the other 4 million
that
get sent to me.
You didn't get that one sent to you?
No, I didn't see that.
I'll show you in the break.
I did not see that. Meantime, on the Ringer podcast, Bill Simmons had John Stewart as a guest, and they were talking after that terrible game one loss that the Knicks had, but they gave up the 14-point lead late, the 9-point lead with 58 seconds to go, and this is how that went.
What do you think 1993 Mike and the Mad Dog would have said about that loss last night?
Mike, what are they doing? These guys are... Oh, yeah, dog.
That is the most humongous loss the Knicks have ever had.
Dog, they're never going to... you're never going to see a loss like that again in the Garden. I haven't gone to the Garden since 1908. I saw Tunney fight Dempsey. I saw Tunney fight Dempsey.
So you get that hurts my ears.
So that's John Stewart with Simmons. And here's talking about how the station has now changed.
Well, now the Fan used to listen to the Fan. It seems like some of it is a little performative because the clips are really funny.
Yeah. It also has to be. You know,
there's two ball guys just like absolutely losing their mind over the protection behind Aaron Judge or what, that Juan Soto seems unhappy.
Yeah.
Well, he's paying attention. That's for sure.
He is.
We got a lot of bald guys here, though. You know,
we do, but we've got one where two of them are in the same time slot.
That is true, but you got Tiki and you got Sean. Two bald guys.
Yeah, but Evan's the host there, not Sean.
But Al Hughes.
Got Al.
But yeah, it's probably BT and Sal, but yes.
Especially with the Soto stuff.
Of course, 100%.
I mean, there are a bunch of bald guys running around here. I mean, Jock Alones, he's bald.
Yeah, but he's not talking. Yeah.
We're talking about
hosts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And works at the other station, not here, technically.
True. Okay. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry.
But Sal, BT, Tiki, Sean, who else?
Al.
Right. That might be it. Is Keith bald? No.
No.
He's got hair.
He's got wonderful hair.
Marash has hair.
Yeah. Sean doesn't have hair. Lugauer's got hair. Sean's bald.
What's
Morash is bald. Lugauer's got
hair. Not Morash. McMonagle. Sorry.
Oh, McMonagle. Yeah.
Yes, McMonagle.
He's got also great hair still to this day.
Doesn't have a neck.
He does also say the shows are not perfect here at this station.
Oh, okay.
But.
You don't know who's talking, and they're all at the same pitch.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of cacophony. And like you say, pretty performative, pretty obviously takes with like kind of holes in them. Still fun to listen to.
So he's still out there tuning us in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everybody knows who's talking on this show, right?
I hope so.
I was going to say, that would be a little bit... I mean, there's a lot of voices on the afternoon show. And sometimes, if you don't know the guys, you get a little confused occasionally, but...
I would like to think that we are very careful about talking over one another. Every now and again, that does happen.
Mm.
But... it's few and far between.
Yeah.
That's Boomer, by the way, talking.
The other game last night, or the only game last night, was the Thunder beating the T-Wolves 128-126. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 40, almost had a triple-double at 10 assists and 9 rebounds. Here was Anthony Edwards. He struggled, as did Julius Randle. Randle just 5 points. So what was up with you two?
I don't look at it like I struggled or he struggled. They had a good game plan, making us get off the ball. Especially for me, man, it was super in the gaps. I made the right play all night, so I don't really look at it like I struggled. I didn't get enough shots to say I struggled, so that might be how you guys look at it. But yeah, I didn't struggle at all. I made the right play.
This guy,
I'll tell you, Dante DiVincenzo had a great game.
Yeah, he had over 20, hit some threes, but that's a rough one.
It is
a rough loss.
Yeah, it is. So they're down 3-1 the Thunder with that series lead. Last night, the Yankees were in Anaheim to take on the Angels. We talk about the Thrivewell player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion, and he is one Anthony Volpe.
Volpe trying to pick up at least one run here with a fly ball at the very least. Next pitch. So I'm going to drive to center field. Slicing drive. Going back, Taylor.
It bounces off the fence. Scoring is Grisham. Judge right behind him. Belly's flying. He's going to score. Anthony Volpe. A three-run double in the Yankees. Expand the lead to 4-1 here in the fourth inning.
And they'd win 5-1. That's our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. Dave Sims, the call. He also had a one of these rare gaffes as well. But it was funny, though, because at the end, he pulls a, the way he just pulls a me, if you will. Doesn't say my mistake. I apologize, but it is kind of funny.
1-1 from Yarbrough to Moncada. That's drilled deep to left center field. Chasing is Grisham. Chasing, and it is gone. Oh. Long run for Grish. Oh, he did?
Yes.
I totally lost that. Wait. My bad.
He caught the ball.
Boomer hates my bad.
I know.
My bad.
That's why I thought it was funny. My bad.
Well, at least he was there.
Yeah, John Sterling's like, not so easy, huh?
The twoies, I swear. Here was Anthony Volpe, Yes Network. We are now 13 games over 500 to 33-20.
Yeah, I think we're playing well. We're relying on each other. We're trusting each other, but it's a long season. We got a lot of work to do, and we're going to keep taking it day by day.
Ryan Yarbrough, the win, 6 innings, 2-0, 3.06 ERA. You've got Carlos Rodon and Ty Anderson tonight on The Fan at 9 p.m. Meantime, at Citi Field, we heard from Howie Rose last hour. This hour, we get you to, I guess this was Gary Cohen, as the Mets beat the White Sox in their last at-bat.
Francisco swings and flies one to right. That's deep. Tuchman goes back. He makes the catch, and Keller can walk on in with the winning run, and the Mets win it 2-1.
There wasn't a thing of beauty, but a win is a win. That was on SNY. They got a sac fly from Juan Soto in the previous inning, the sac fly from Francisco Lindor in the ninth, and New York wins 2-1. Along the way, there was some conversation as the camera shot caught Gary by surprise with the furries in the crowd.
Oh. Is that a convention?
There's a lot of stuff going on here other than a quality baseball game.
Yes, people dressed as stuffed animals. In left field.
Yeah, and it's really sort of how far some of them take it. You know, there's some that just will put the costume on and have a fun time at a baseball game. There's others that will go in litter boxes.
Yes.
And I know that for a fact.
I don't know that was these people.
Yeah.
They look like cartoon characters.
Yeah. Talked to a hotel manager who said the furry convention, there would be many litter boxes that they'd have
so
to clean.
So when they come to the game, do you have to have litter boxes for them?
No, I don't think so. No,
that's not required.
I don't think that's a requirement. No.
Sure.
All kidding aside, when they have bark at the park, do the dogs just urinate wherever?
I think so.
And however they need to?
I think so, as long as you pick up the
most owners are pretty good with, you know, they'll have some solution or something to spray.
Oh, okay.
And obviously they'll have their little dog
gloves.
Yeah, the bags.
Yeah.
The poopies. Yeah.
But the poopies, yes. Well, none of that yesterday, but the Mets did win.
Jerry, hold on. Jonathan in Somerset. Jonathan, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are we all doing?
Hey, we're doing great. How are you today?
Good, good, good. Hey, I just wanted to point out and give some recognition to Gio's impersonation of Mike Francesa and how it blows John Stewart's out of the water. World-renowned, iconic comedian John Stewart's Gio's impersonation of Francesa is infinitely better, and I think we just need to give him a couple some props on that.
I agree.
Well, thanks, Jonathan. He can have that impersonation. I'll take his salary. How about that?
We'll make a little bit of a trade. I'll give you that, and I'll take you.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
He's done okay for himself, John Stewart.
But thank you, Jonathan. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Here was Lindor. A solid game for everybody across the board.
Overall, great team win. Nemo coming in after a couple of days of not playing, had fantastic at-bats all day. Soto, you know, he's in a day that we're not executing, he comes in and executes and picks everyone up. So it was a great team
to get that
you
game.
You know what was good yesterday? The defense was good yesterday.
How about Nemo's catch down on the field line?
That was terrific.
No question.
Lindor still calls him Nemo, by the way.
Nemo.
Finding Nemo.
Think Brandon ever go up to him and be like, hey, just so you know, it's Nemo. Cap.
Your boy, Pete Alonso, almost threw behind Clay Holmes. Though.
They caught it, though. They made the play.
Yes.
It wasn't great.
Ugh.
Play was made, though.
Still got issues.
He does. Yes, he does. Here was Carlos Mendoza talking about Luis Angel Acuna. He pinch ran after Francisco Alvarez led off the eighth inning with a single. He was the one that scored the tying run, Mendoza.
Yeah, he's a weapon, you know. And even though he's not getting everyday playing time, you know, you feel like at some point he's going to come in and he's going to do something that's going to help you win a baseball game, whether it's defensively, base running.
Well, the base running did it.
Well, I'll tell you what, they got an interesting thing going on, right? They got Beatty, Vientos, and Acuna.
Yeah.
So... And Beatty's hitting now.
And should be playing every day.
And should be playing a lot more. So, yeah, they were talking a little bit about this yesterday, finding enough bats for all three of those guys. Because I do think Acuna is his speed and his defense is good.
His defense is fabulous.
Yes.
I agree. You've got Tyler McGill tonight on 880 AM Mets Odyssey Radio at 7:10 PM. And from hockey, you had the Hurricanes snap their 15-game losing streak in the conference finals.
Plays it all the way around for Tkachuk. Tkachuk loses it. Carolina with a chance. Empty net. Jarvis across. Svechnikov hands it off. Empty net. Bingo! Carolina. Sebastian Aho drills it. And it's a 2-0 lead for the Canes with 2:11 left here in the third period.
Florida, no Sam Reinhart, and no Nico Mikola. Ranger fans know who he is. He's becoming the headman for Florida.
So Victor Hedman.
Both of those top guys were out for them yesterday.
Well, 3-0 was the final. They added one more empty net goal. They are still down in the series, 3-1, but they do get one as they took game 4.
All right, thanks, Jerry. Chris in Westfield before the break here. What's going on, Chris?
Morning, guys. How are you?
All right, Chris. What's happening?
I'm on the way to work, but you guys mentioned the Furries yesterday. I was at the game, and they got booed so many times on the Jumbotron.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah, it was a great day, too. You know, they had Captain Sully throughout the first
hit. Yeah.
The Army flyover was fantastic.
Nice.
But then they showed him on the Jumbotron, and the entire mood of the stadium changed when all the booze came out for him.
Oh, man.
But yeah.
You know, Chris, it's interesting. I feel like... You know, on a Memorial Day when they're doing all the pageantry of...
Wrong day.
Yeah, wrong day to show up in a furry costume.
Get the beaver out of here. The beaver. All jokes aside, do you walk in dressed like that?
Yeah. What do you think? They had the costume and changed in the bathroom? Like, they definitely did.
Okay.
And they're living their whole lives. If they're real furries, they're, you know, when they put that costume on, that's their personality for whatever... length of time they'd like to do that before they go back to their job as a social studies teacher. All right, Jerry. We'll see you next hour.
Teacher's going to be pissed at you now.
Oh, man.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right. You're a 1-6 son of a bitch, man. I'm telling you, you're out of your mind. You know, he tells me these golf stories. I mean, and you're just yelling at your best friend on the golf course.
Well, I mean.
Oh, I love it.
I love it.
I've rubbed off on you.
Well, there's just an etiquette, the way of doing things. I feel like you gotta do things a certain way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you had a good week. And Gina and the kids coming back today.
Yeah, they're coming back today. Yes. Okay. Yeah, they're coming back today.
Oh, my God.
I know. I was like, oh, do I sit around and relax or just go and play as much as I can? It was choice B. After I left the show on Friday, I played 63 holes after that over the next 4 days.
So I tried to guess. I tried to play guess the names with Sydney yesterday. She wouldn't give me. Give me an inch.
All right. So if people aren't familiar,
yes,
there are twins on the way. Twin boys on the way for Matt Martin
very soon. Yes,
and Sydney Esaias and Martin, and the first child, Winnie, who was Boompa's first grandchild. Boompa didn't know the rules and gave the name out on the air before Winnie was born.
Yes.
And while this was going on, the conversation is going on. I'm like, you shouldn't do this. And then Gina's just texting me, he can't do this. She's going to be so pissed. And then you go, it's Windsor. They're going to call her Winnie. And it was you could see the mushroom cloud. And you got frozen out for a couple weeks.
I did. I got frozen out without question. But I'm not frozen out now, but it's I tried.
Okay.
I thought Ben and Jerry, Tom and Jerry, something like that. She's, no, Dad, no.
Okay. Well, that would not be
Ben and Jerry Martin. No. But yeah, no, I am excited to be, the due date's coming up.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
We're getting close.
Yeah. So yeah, exciting, exciting stuff there. So I see in front of me, I've got that read again for the Larry Johnson night, the watch party.
Yes.
And I did get Mercandante saying that he's moving things around so he can be there.
Okay.
So we're going to get this answer.
But does Mercandante really understand the story, or is this just going to be one of these half-assed things like Plansker and Wally did?
I think he understands the story.
He's going to go up to Larry Johnson and say, hey, do you have the four-point ball because Wally Szczerbiak put it in the closet at the towel?
No, this is how you do it. This is how, and if he's listening or if he's not, I'll text him later. This is how you should do it. Hey, Larry, I'm curious. You know, Chris Childs threw that ball up into the stands after the four-point play. Did you ever get it back? And if he says, no, I don't have it, you'd be like, okay, well, here's a funny story for you. If he says, yes, I do have it, then he says, how did you get it back?
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay.
Because we at WFAN had it for a little bit.
Yeah.
And now we don't, as we were trying to get it signed to auction off for charity. And that, I think that's the way you got to do it.
Okay.
So, but yeah, so we're going to know. So if he says he has it, though, we can't now request it back. It's right. It's his, it's essentially, he's got to have it. Now, I'll be happier that he has it as opposed to somebody who's selling it on Craigslist somewhere, whatever the hell it is, you know, but it's not like, hey, the guy who caught the ball in the stands gave that to us to auction off, so now
if he has it, then it's up to Wally to get it back.
But he can't ask it, LJ.
Oh, no, he has to.
He can't he ask LJ back no, for that ball
to.
Now?
He has to.
Oh, that is tough. Now, if you're telling me that Chris Childs had it, I mean, even Allen Houston.
And obviously, Wally's working tonight. Where is this watch party?
This watch party is at goes watching the Blue Haven South on Fulton Street.
So Wally's not going to be anywhere near there.
No.
Okay.
But he'll see Larry again if we get him the information. He'll see him soon. Probably see him at Game 5. See him at Game 5.
You would think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a tough ask, though, man. If LJ, if one of the other Knicks had it, you could say, hey, this is what happened. But if LJ's got it himself and it's in his home and it's like the greatest moment of his NBA career, you can't ask for that ball back
well,
now.
Listen, I know LJ well.
Okay.
So Wally's got to go up to him and ask him. Say, hey, we need to get that ball back.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting.
That's all there is to it. Let's go to Mr. L in NYC. Mr. L, what's happening?
Long time, first time, guys.
Hey, Mr.
Long time,
L.
First time, love your show.
Thank you.
Mr. L, yeah, I'm a teacher from New York, and it was very interesting, the guys you guys are talking about, especially Gio, when he mentioned the teachers got to go, the Ferries got to go back to teaching social studies. And I was like, bro, that's so funny because I've been teaching for 15 years in the city, and teachers got crazy hobbies. Like, you look at a teacher, you see him sometimes in a tie, like, they go home and they do Pokemon and they do all these crazy hobbies. Now, the furry thing I don't think is a sexual thing. I think it's just like a psychological thing. You know what I mean?
It's
like,
both. It could be both.
It could be, definitely. So I mean, they could do that with Pokemon too, but what I'm saying is like hobbies is hobbies and teachers in New York City, they got some crazy hobbies.
And what about you, Mr. L? Do you have any crazy hobbies?
Well, I play pool. I don't know if that's a crazy hobby.
No, that's not crazy. You like a pool shark? Mr. L, you one of those pool sharks where you show up and be like, oh, I haven't played in a while.
I had a really bad experience one time when some guy wanted to play me for money. I was like, I'm not going to play you for money. I'm not going to take your money. He was like, no, play me. And I was like, yo, I could play you with a mop stick and I'll beat you. And so I got a mop stick. I beat him with the mop stick.
Wow.
And then he wanted to fight me. So then I was like, you know what? I'm not playing for money no more.
Mr. L, what do you teach in high school?
All right, good. You said high school, so you threw everybody off the path.
Okay.
I teach English, literature, English literature, and second language acquisition. I have my master's degree in TESOL.
Awesome. All right, Mr. L.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for checking in, man, and supporting my theory
teachers,
there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, man. Teachers got some crazy things. And, yo, those faculty parties, nobody, around 1 o'clock in the morning, nobody's looking who you go home with. That's the best part of being nobody's looking around at teachers in New York City at holiday parties. I love that part. All right, anyway, buddy.
Mr. L.
Love your show, man, all right?
I have a great time at your Christmas party.
You call anytime you want, Mr. L.
Yeah, no, that was great. And I'm not assuming teachers are all furries. It just was a funny, I don't have to explain the joke. It just was a funny thing that popped into my head.
But he confirmed it for us.
Apparently, yes. And then I think that some furries are like just want to be in the furry costume. There are others, though, that it's a fact that this is a sexual thing for them. Not all of them, but, you know, there's others that like, hey, I'm a jackrabbit and I'm, you know, I see the zebra in the hotel lobby and bing, bang, boom. You know, one of those.
So it's usually rabbit. Is zebra come together?
I don't know. I just, those are the two I thought of.
It's usually like the horse motif that is the big one for that.
The horse motif with two people or with one?
Or three.
The horse motif.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of wolves. There were a lot of wolves on roller skates in Pittsburgh. There's like a whole gang of them. But I don't, the horse, so there's a lot of horses that are.
Like people, you know, they like to be, well, one person is the horse and the other is the, you know, the trainer or what have you.
Oh, okay. Let me be Bob Baffert this time for once.
A horse only has two legs or does it have four?
Well, I mean, they have four and.
I know what a real horse has. I'm just talking about a furry horse.
Well, they will act it out. And it's not even so much they have to be in full costume. It's because it's leading towards, you know, they're just pretending to be a horse and getting ridden and led around.
I see. Okay.
It's a horse motif.
And whipped.
Oh, God. All right.